Tango Tango Papa 2071, June 4, 2021.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Oakley, Kansas. So, I looked. It's been a little bit under a month since the last podcast. So, I ended up staying out about a month this time before I went home and took time off. So that's a little bit longer than I normally would, but I kind of it sort of worked out that way to a certain extent, and you know, and then one of the reasons being that I had a couple of doctor's appointments that I had scheduled, you know, because. One of them, the first one was, I had them on the June the 2nd. They were scheduled for June 2nd. Dental cleaning appointment, which I do, you know, I alternate between two different dentists every 3 months. So I, you know, I go 3 months and then to go to one dentist, and then 3 months later I go to the other one, and then, you know, kind of back and forth. So had that, and so on the same day in the afternoon, I made an appointment with an ear, nose, and throat doctor to for the specific reason of getting my ears cleaned out, because I guess it's been upwards of a month ago now. I woke up a couple of mornings in a row with my right ear kind of being blocked with earwax. Now it quickly dissipated once I got up and around, you know, then the earwax sort of drained down, and it wasn't, you know, and it didn't happen after that, but I went ahead and made an appointment anyway, because it was, you know, it had been about 6 years since the last time I'd gotten them cleaned, and so I figured it was time. So that's what I did. So I did that. While I was gone, you know, I had the guy and his wife and her brother came and painted my decks. That happened right after I left the last time. Came back to work the last time. And then while I was home, they were able to come and wash the house. So, got that done. So, you know, I could do these things myself, but it's just, I don't know, it's too much of a pain. Because I'm only home approximately 5 days a month. And I've got enough other things to do that I just don't have time to do these things. So, and it's just easier for me to pay them to do it. So that's what I did. And so now the house is pretty well clean. Now, the other thing that I was going to do, I had called an electrician. I want, and I'm sure I've talked about this before, I wanted an electrician to install a 30-amp port on my house that will allow me to plug in a generator. I bought a 7,500-watt generator from Lowe's, ordered it online. So I was able to pick that up while I was home and get that picked up. But the electrician wasn't able to come out, because when I called him this past Monday, or Tuesday rather. Monday was Memorial Day, so it was Tuesday, and he was on his way to Montana. And so he told me to, you know, call him a few days before I know that I'm going to be home again towards the end of June. So I haven't decided exactly when I'll be back, towards the end of June, but I will, once I've decided that and got that scheduled, then I'll give him a call and let him know. And I have a couple of other odds and ends that I want. I want him to mount a weatherproof outdoor electrical outlet on that back deck, and because there are times that would be very, very handy to be able to have power out there rather than just running an extension cord into the house, which, you know, I've done that. When I needed to, I've done that, but it's a pain in the rear. So it would be much better just to have a power outlet out there that was just, you know, weatherproof power outlet that's handy, and that'd be the way to handle that. So, and then I also want him to disconnect my original solar installation from the power. Disconnect that, and then I can pay that other guy to dismantle it and then kind of get rid of that, because it's not really doing anything anyway. It's doing very little of anything, and the housing, the wooden housing for that old solar installation is really rotting away, and it's just a matter of time before it completely falls apart. So it would be a good idea to get the inverter that's in there disconnected from power before that happens, because it is inevitable it's going to fall, you know, because it's already kind of falling apart, and it's inevitable that the whole thing's just going to at some point collapse, so fall over and or collapse or whatever. So that's really, get the electrician out there and get him to do his work, and then get the other guy to come and once it's disconnected from power, just kind of dismantle it. And then I can just haul it away. So I'll probably sell the inverter, maybe on Facebook, because the inverter still works, but just sell that on Facebook, probably Facebook Marketplace, I think. So. But anyway, besides that, I just kind of made the rounds with different friends and relatives, and was able to eat with both of my younger brothers, and kind of hang out with friends. And, you know, that's what I like to do, is sort of live life in slices. Slice of this and a slice of that, and some of the slice, the work slice is bigger at this point. The work slice takes up most of my time, but I think that's a good approach, and try not to get an overdose on any one thing, including work or different friends or relatives. It works much better if kind of keep that in appropriately spaced slices. That philosophy seems to work, or that approach seems to work very well. Now I was one of these people I was talking to. There was this guy that I met that was saying that, because he's worked in some kind of trucking thing, and he mentioned the fact that there are part-time truck driving jobs, and that's something that I'll certainly consider, because at this point, I'm going to go ahead now. It's been, I'm 66 plus 2 months at this point. My birthday was on April the 3rd, and so now it's June the 4th. So I can, it's been 2 months past my birthday, so I'm going to go ahead and apply for the so-called full Social Security with the intention of continuing to work. And with the idea that I'm going to just bank the money, and you know, there's going to be some tax consequences, but I'll just, you know, kind of deal with whatever the tax consequences are. I don't know. They make the first year that they've got these weird rules. The first year that you start taking Social Security, the first part of your income can't exceed a certain amount. So they've got some strange rules. But I don't know. The rules with the Social Security are just really cryptic. It's rather ridiculous. Instead of just, kind of laying it out there and saying this is how it works, they've got all these different ifs, ands, or buts. And I think it's probably deliberate. In part, it's deliberate. They keep it that way so that it makes it as mysterious and as intimidating as they can, So, and then part of it's just government incompetence. So, but anyway, I'm going to go ahead and apply for that and get that started. And at this point, I'm not exactly sure. The Medicare, it seems like from the cursory look that I took, they're trying to get you to sign up for Medicare when you sign up, at the same time you sign up for Social Security. But I really, as long as I continue to work, I really don't need to be signing up for Medicare. Although there are people, we do have drivers that are working full-time that are taking Medicare. Now, one of the things, certainly if I got a part-time driving job, then I would have to rely on Medicare at that point, because a part-time driving job is not going to have, they're not going to have health insurance. That's just not going to happen. So, and I really don't make much use of the health insurance that I have. They'll pay certain percentages of this and that here and there until you, and I never meet the deductible. So for example, this ear, nose, and throat doctor that I went to, I just paid them, and then they have my insurance and they'll submit it. And I may get a little tiny percentage back. I may or may not. I really don't care, because I look at it, it's just an incidental, and the health insurance is there in case there's a major catastrophe. And that really is the way I look at it. But a lot of people look at health insurance as if it's going to somehow magically pay for everything, and it can't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. So, I look at it as it's just there, in case a catastrophe happens. Catastrophes can happen. They can and do happen sometimes. So it's best to be prepared. So but in any case, I'm going to go ahead and see if I can apply for the Social Security, and if I should be able to get the Social Security without the Medicare, but we'll see how that works. Because like I say, the look that I've taken at it so far, they're trying to package both of the same things together as much as they can to make it seem like you have to take that. So. But I think the two things can be separated. So I'll find out. So in any event, I've got it's about 50 second long Voxer comment from Joel. So here is Joel.
Hey Tom, it's Joel McLaughlin here. Just thought I'd say hey. I noticed you haven't had a show in quite a while. That's all right. I noticed you're home too. I wanted to say how much I enjoy seeing you share the critters you see playing with your camera, apparently. But anywho, I'm outside here at a Candlewood Suites here in Grove City, Ohio. We've moved out of our apartment and we are in an extended stay until our house finishes, hopefully this month, maybe early next month. We'll find out. So in any event, I just thought I'd say hey and hope all's well.
Okay, well, thank you, Joel. Yeah, the you know, I have about I have 11 cameras that I have added to the Blink system. The Blink system, you know, initially when I bought it in December, you know, I bought the, it came with five waterproof external cameras plus the hub. And so at this point I've added, and you can add up to five more external cameras, or, you know, those kind of cameras, you can add up to five more on the hub. And then if you want more, you have to add a hub, a second hub. But with that being said, the cameras, the internal cameras that aren't waterproof that plug in, which this is confusing, but it's the case, you can add as many of those as you want. They just don't interact with the hub. The idea of the hub, I'm not exactly sure. One of the things the hub does is enables you to save clips locally as well as to the cloud. But so it's kind of confusing why the hub, you know, works with the external cameras but not necessarily with the internal cameras that actually have to plug into a power source that aren't waterproof. But I was able to determine that I could, you know, I could add more. So I have a total of 11 cameras, six that are inside the house and just plugged into the wall, and then the five that are outside that are waterproof. So obviously the ones, mostly the ones that are, that have been triggered have been those external cameras. And it was, I don't know, the deer must have known that I was home. Because you know, once I got home, there were no deer. Now, of course, I did mow as well, so that may have had something to do with it. But the deer somehow knew that I was there, and or it seemed like it, because they didn't trigger the cameras at all. I think there may have been a cat or something, or maybe some other sort of little varmint that might have triggered one here or there, but it was nothing, you know, no deer. Now, I did see the baby deer when I was mowing that one day. I did see it running back in the woods, back behind my house. So they're still around, but they must have known that I was home. So, you know, and since now I left this morning, and so far there haven't been any more triggers. You know, so it's possible that there may be some in the middle of the night tonight. So, but I'm sure they probably smelled, you know, because the animals like that really have great senses of smell, and they really rely on smell. So I'm sure that, you know, just my scent probably with me mowing and what have you was probably enough to maybe disturb them, I don't know, to keep them out of the yard. But, it, you know, I did mow, and so that they could still eat grass if that's what they want to do, but, you know, I kind of disturbed it. But I don't know, it's kind of interesting. You know, the different animals that are out there. So, But you know, I liked having those cameras because it, you know, I could just look at them and see what, you know, if the thing, because there's always things that trigger some of those cameras, and some of them I have set so that they don't trigger, especially the ones that I have like internal views of the house. There's really no point in having a trigger set for that, because I would be the only one triggering it, but and that would get really annoying quick. And then obviously while they were doing the you know, they were washing the house, the people were washing the house, I just went ahead and disarmed it, because it, you know, it was just constantly triggering, and so that there was, you know, it's really no point in that, because it, when the external waterproof cameras run on AA lithium batteries that came with it, and they will run out. You know, they'll, depending on how much they are used, they'll they're supposed to last a couple of years, but obviously, if the more you end up using them, either deliberately or they're triggered, then the quicker the batteries are going to run out. So, you know, and it really, the app doesn't really tell you. It just, you look at the individual cameras, the details for them, and it just, they just say, well, the battery's okay. It doesn't give you any kind of a level, a reading level. It just says they're okay. I guess they're okay until they're not okay, but they are lithium, non-rechargeable lithium AA batteries. So they're a special kind. They are more expensive, but they do come with the Blink system. If it, you know, you buy some of those external cameras, they package the batteries in there with it. So, but I do like the Blink. Blink system, you know, I've had cameras now for years, and it's just, it's really nice to be able to just kind of look at things. So you know, and it works particularly well. It works pretty well, but it works really well now that I've got the fiber internet, and of course the fiber internet's working great. So really happy that I finally have that in place. So anyway, so now I'm back at work, and you know, that would probably be about as busy as possible. That seems to be the case. During this last month, I did go through this a couple of days where I could have made a podcast, because my truck, I thought it broke down. I was in Maryland at the time, not that far from, you know, kind of the western Maryland, not that far from Pennsylvania. Along, I think it was Interstate, is that Interstate 68, I believe. And so I was, I went, you know, I was going along, and then all of a sudden, you have a color LCD display in the middle of the dash, directly in front of the driver in his truck, and it popped on, and it said critical temperature in the right rear hub, meaning, you know, the axle, rather. And so I found a nice wide place to stop, and I stopped, and you know, and I really couldn't, you know, so what I immediately did, I contacted our breakdown department and told them what the thing was, and so they ended up sending a wrecker from you know, this place in Pennsylvania where there was a Freightliner dealer. It was about 80 or 90 miles away. And so that took a while for them to get there, and then they towed the thing up there, and then I was able to stay in a Motel 6. So I spent a couple of nights in Motel 6 waiting because they had to kind of diagnose what was wrong. And it turned out that it really didn't get hot. It really hadn't overheated, even though that's what it said. It turned out that they had to replace a sensor and some sort of a module. So both the sensor and the module, I guess the controlling module, failed, and it gave the false alarm, and so the axle really didn't overheat. It wasn't, the temperature was not critical, so that turned out to be false. So in any case, they towed the truck and towed the trailer back to the, you know, to that Freightliner dealer, and then took me to the motel and dropped me off. You know, and I'd already, our company has arrangements with Motel 6. So I could have made a podcast then, but I just didn't do it. That was, I don't know, that's been... Well, it's more than a week ago now that happened. And so, could have done it then, but I didn't do it. Well, and then the other part of that, I was kind of limited in what, since I was separated from the truck, I just had certain things with me. And I didn't bring all of the stuff that I would use to make a podcast with, as far as like this microphone and the little fast track USB device that I plug everything into. Didn't bring all of that along with me, so but I could have made a I could have made a podcast with the phone, because I've done that before. In the past, it is possible to make a podcast with the phone, and you got to jump through a lot of hoops in order to make it work right, but it is doable. But I just didn't do it. So while I was waiting, I ended up watching a lot of HGTV on the motel television. So, that, I don't know, was there anything else that happened? I guess that was probably about the most eventful thing that happened while I was gone this last time. Otherwise, just the same old. I was pretty busy. And of course, they paid me some kind of breakdown pay while I was, while the truck was down. So, and I was in the motel, they do pay. I don't know what the breakdown, I don't really pay it that much attention. It's not bad. It's obviously not as much as I would make as if I was driving, but, it's better than just sitting there making nothing. So that was really the most eventful thing that happened. And so, but otherwise, I'd say a quite successful effort at avoiding news and even avoiding headlines. I see little bits and pieces and little snippets here and there, and then people still have people that try to, like my mom, for example, will try to, she'll say, "Did you hear about such and such?" "No." so it's, I don't know, that stuff really is propaganda, and you just have to shut it off. You're better off if you just, completely turn it off, and otherwise you will be propagandized, whether you think you're aware of it or not, you will be. And it's, if you're getting propagandized, it's the old saying that, well, you need to be informed about what's going on. Well, not if it's propaganda, you don't. Because that's propaganda has nothing to do with the truth. Propaganda is all about shaping your perception, controlling your perceptions. And you have to be careful with your perceptions. Because you do have to interact with people, and we do need other people. We absolutely, you know, we can't, you know, we couldn't just exist by ourselves. That's not a good situation. It's not useful. For one thing, what would you have? You wouldn't have anything to live for if you were just by yourself. You know, and let's say you know you're in a situation where you're being fed, you're by yourself and you're being fed. But what would be the point of existing? What in a situation like that, what would be the point of being conscious in a situation like that? So it is necessary to have other people. But it works, you know, and we don't live in an ideal world. You know, so the idea that you're going to find all just the right type of other people and interact with those people doesn't completely work, because they're flawed. Even if you find good people, you know, they're flawed too. So then it's... it really ends up revolving around being able to interact with other people while, you know, kind of imperfectly interact with other people, but perfectly interact with your own conscience. And that, you know, finding your own, you know, the right set of values to have in order to be able to properly deal with the complexities of the world. And you really don't, you can't, you know, it's easy for people to say, well, my values are this, or my values are, I believe in this and I believe in that. What you have to do is look at your own behavior. You know, it's much more effective to look at behavior to discover underlying values, as opposed to just as to what people say their values are, because they can, you know, people are hypocrites. All of us are hypocrites. We're all flawed. To varying degrees, we're all hypocrites, and it's difficult to even know what your own values are. So you have to look at your own behavior. And so that's, I love to constantly examine my own behavior, my own motivations. Why do I do what I do? Why do I think what I think? And that really only works if you're friends with your conscience and not at odds with it. So it is possible to have a really perfect relationship, or, you know, the really good relationship. And when I say perfect, I don't mean that you're perfect. I mean that you are friends with your conscience, and you don't get upset with it when it corrects you. But if you've got the right relationship with conscience, which is another way of saying the right relationship with your creator, because I really do believe that conscience is God talking to us. if you got the right relationship with your conscience, then it's possible to interact with other people, and then it that becomes meaningful. And it's quite necessary to find meaning in existence. You've got to have something to live for. And that usually, whether you like it or not, that really does revolve around doing things for other people. And not simply pleasure. People think that pleasure is meaning. Well, pleasure holds very little or no meaning beyond just like a momentary pleasure. Real meaning revolves around doing things for other people. And the most effective way of knowing that you're doing worthwhile things for other people is, what do you get paid for it? Are you getting paid for it? Now, I'm not saying that you can't do things for other people and that's meaningful and, you know, and not get paid for it. You know, I'm not completely tying it to that. But I'm saying that you can use that, whether you're getting paid for something or not, as a useful barometer. It's just a useful tool. It's not an all-encompassing statement. But you really do have to have something to aim at, and you have to have something that you derive meaning from. Because the idea that you're going to, you know, people have this idea that they're just going to, you know, just have, that they could just exist on pleasure and, you know, travel. They have this nebulous idea that they're going to travel, or they're going to do this, or they're going to do that, and have a meaningful life from that does not work. You know, the people say, "Oh, I want to be on the beach with a margarita in my hand." That's not a lifestyle. That's not a lifestyle. That's a postcard. So what are you going to, you know, the idea, you know, what are you going to do? Just become a drunk? Is that going to be meaningful? I doubt it. Very seriously. But, you know, a little slice of a slice of travel here or a slice of a vacation there, different story. You know, leisure time, doing pleasurable, you know, occasional pleasurable things really works, you know, it's kind of like salt and pepper, works best if you have actual meaningful things to do. And as I say, that, to like it or not, that usually revolves around work of some sort. So, anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off. See if I can't get headed towards bed here in a bit. Hope everyone is having a great week, or has had a great week. Now, let's see. Today's Friday. So, I hope you've had a great week. Hope you have a great weekend coming up. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.